telling the old story is a story that never grows old. And of course, that's another hymn also. You can never hear too much about Jesus, can we? And I want to talk to you today about Jesus. So the hymn was very apt in applying to this. And Brother Merritt, we hadn't been up close talking too much, but I wore my old classic car tie. And it seems like every time I do that, I have an old classic that I'm going to be preaching from. So you're familiar with this old story in the Bible. Or at least you should be. And we'll turn to that text in just a moment. But I want to share with you the very first text this morning, because it applies to each and every one of us that is here. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. This part of the story is the same. And it starts out in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry here on this earth. And I want these words to impact you and you to keep hold of them throughout this message. Because he said from the very first, at the very onset of his ministry, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There's so much in just these few words. Now, that's not going to be my main text, but there's so much. There's instruction for life here. There's love and there's grace here. All of us, no matter who we are, need to turn to the Lord, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'll make this one comment in passing. I've heard it said, I've never had anybody try to explain it to me, and I don't think they could. But some people have the notion that they don't have anything to repent over. Well, I don't understand that, and I would never accept that. Even Peter had to repent. We all have things in our lives that keep us from worshiping the Lord in the full depths of our ability. And if those things are hindrances or whatever they may be, they're obstacles, and they need to be thrown out and kicked to the side. You see, we all have things that we need to repent from. And he is telling us here, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now keep that, please, in your heart or in the back of your mind. And now turn with me to our main text, if you'd like to, in your Bibles. It's found again in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, 44. And there's two parables here that we're going to look at this morning. And again, these are old classics. You know them very well. But I want you to consider them. And I truly want you to apply them to yourselves, because this is very personal this morning. Everything from the Bible should be personal to us. We need to see, how does it apply to my life? How can I use these words that come from the Lord to guide and direct me? Every message from the gospel is a personal message. So please take this one to heart. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44. This one is called the parable of the hidden treasure. And here Jesus is speaking to his followers. And these are not only just the apostles and the close disciples, but others that were following too. And in this congregation, I'll say, of people, there were Gentiles, there were Jews, and perhaps even some of the Roman soldiers were close by. That I don't know, but it's a possibility. Nevertheless, Jesus speaks these words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, I want to break this down. In some ways, this is very self-explanatory. But to me, there's a lot here. And I want you to think about this. And again, apply this to your life. A man finds a treasure in a field. And I'm summarizing some of this now. A man finds a treasure in a field. And the great treasure is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that at the very beginning, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what this man should be finding. Because read the text again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like what? A treasure. A great treasure hidden in a field. So this man finds this great treasure in the field. I want you to think on just a moment and read the rest of the text. And for joy over it, well, I'm sorry, I skipped forward a verse. He finds like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. Have you ever considered why did he hide it? What's the purpose of hiding it? Let's read the text in its entirety. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So we have a man who has found a great treasure in a field, and he hides it. So as we are going forward, this man has found the kingdom of heaven, and he hides it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, Jesus says the following: "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, how does that tie into this passage? Not everybody, folks, is part of the kingdom of God. Now, that's a misconception that is sometimes preached, that everybody in the world is saved. That's not what Jesus taught, and that's not what the Bible records. He says here, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And he was talking, of course, to Nicodemus. You can't enter the kingdom of God. This man that was hunting or was seeking out in the field found the kingdom of God. He found a great treasure. And Jesus said the treasure, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. He found it. And now he's hid it. But not everybody can find that treasure. We find that repeated in a different text, but it's substantiated in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus gives an answer to the Pharisee in Luke 17, 20 through 21. "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come from observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Have you ever studied that passage? The kingdom of God is within you. That's not what the Pharisees understood. And they couldn't hear it. Jesus told some of the Pharisees that you are not of my flock. You are of your father, the devil. You see, there's a differentiation between God's children and those of the world. We're all born of the flesh, but God's children are born of the Spirit as well. And Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you have been born of the Spirit also. The kingdom of God is within you. And now, folks, I want you to think about our opening call to worship scripture, taken from 1 Corinthians 6. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" You are not your own. You belong to the Lord and Savior. You belong to God. God created you, and He made you for a specific purpose. And as you have faith in your heart, we need to start examining ourselves and what this great treasure is, this kingdom of heaven. You see, your faith, your relationship, the Holy Spirit that was within you is the kingdom of God that Jesus is referring to, because it is found within you. Yes, the kingdom of God will come in a physical way at whatever time the Lord appoints. But we, as God's children, our bodies dwell within us, dwell the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit only goes to those who have faith. And we know that faith is given to God's children. And it is by grace that we have the faith that we have. And it is by grace that we have the ability to understand and to believe that we are saved through grace and grace alone. And folks, that identifies you as a child of God. The world doesn't have that faith within them. It is a mystery. And it is hidden from them. We know that this is done by the works of God. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, because of his great love for us. Because of his great love. I told you there was great love in the opening statement when Jesus said to repent. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. So I want you to start thinking about the kingdom of heaven. It is God's, the gift of faith that God has given us, and the Holy Spirit that is within us. This is the kingdom of heaven. And back in our main text, this man found a great treasure. And Jesus said it is like the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is found in a field. You see, it is within you. God has put it there. And it is a great treasure. And it said then in our text that the man hid the treasure in the field. Folks, to me that's instructional. We need to hide God's word in our hearts. Psalms 48 tells us, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. God's word. It's within our heart. Do you see how this is building on the kingdom of heaven is inside you? And it is a great treasure, folks. We minimize it sometimes. We don't even consider how great it is. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You see, it's getting down to the heart. I told you this is a personal message. What is inside your heart? In Deuteronomy 11, therefore shall they lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they may be frontlets between your eyes. You see, God's word, it is instructions, it is a pathway, it is a map for us to follow throughout our lives. And God has placed it within you. And it is greater than anything else in your life. It is a treasure. And we need to hide it in our hearts, because there's a lot of worldly influence that will try to take it away. But it is precious beyond compare. And our text goes on to say he is joyful over discovering this kingdom. So let me ask you, are you joyful about your relationship with Jesus? Do you take it for granted? Or do you wake up each day thanking God that he gave you the gift of the breath of life, the gift of life, to have another day? And you think about that he loved us, even regardless of the sins that we had yesterday. Because his mercies are new every day. Are you thankful for the knowledge and for your relationship with Jesus Christ? See, to me it goes back to what we just studied in the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. How close is your relationship? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, when you start trusting God so much, you wake up and you're being grateful and you're thankful. And whatever this day may hold, God is with me. You see, that understanding, that personal relationship needs to be deep within your heart. And it needs to be hid, and it needs to be so strong that nothing can take it away from you. The man was joyful over what he found. So let me ask you again, are you joyful over your relationship, your understanding, the gift of faith that you have in Christ Jesus? The Bible tells us to be joyful over God's word. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. And folks, if we're not rejoicing over God's word, then it's a strong indicator, it's a bright flashing light. You're not focused in the right place. You are allowing the world to divert your attention, and you are captured in whatever problems you may have, or in other endeavors that might be appealing. Nothing should rob us of the joy that we have when we walk closely with Jesus Christ. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. There is no salvation in any other name except the name of Jesus. And folks, you know that. You have that faith in your hearts, and you should be joyful over it. The world will do everything in its power to diminish it and to keep you from being joyful. One of the things that Satan hates to see is a happy Christian. We need to be joyful. Just as we were talking earlier, we need to be praising when God does good things in our life, sharing it with other people. That only comes when you're truly happy, when you're joyful. We cannot, well, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? You do not put a light or a candle under a bushel. You let that light shine for others to see. Folks, people need to hear our praise. They need to hear that we are happy, and we need to be sharing that with the world. In Colossians, we are told, and this kind of brings it home. Again, I want you to know, and I've said this statement many times, but it's worth repeating. No matter where you are in your life, on the mountaintop or in a valley, if you're having health problems or if you're having financial problems or if you're on top of the world and everything's perfect, it doesn't matter. But I will say this. Your present day circumstances is not a reflection on how much Jesus loves you. Because that's temporary and that will go away and it will change. Know what is reflective of how much Jesus loves us? He went to that cross and He died for us. And nobody can separate us from the love of God. That's the other statement I pray that if I'm taken away whenever, that is one constant I have tried to preach. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And that knowledge needs to be hidden and buried in your heart and let nothing take it away from you. Because that knowledge, that understanding, that trust is your personal relationship. It is the kingdom of God within you. And it needs to be important to you. Colossians tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, there you're back to being joyful again. We need to be joyful over this great treasure. You see, I really have been numbering, but this would be the fourth thing that I want you to take from this one little parable. The man found, that means he was seeking. Wasn't he? He was seeking. The world seeks after all types of things. But the Bible tells us to seek after God. Are you seeking after God? I think you are because you came to church. You see, you have something in you. There's a hunger within you that can only be fed through God's Word. And God's Word tells us to seek after the Lord, to actively seek God. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ. These are red letter words. This is what the Lord Jesus spoke. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. How often the world tries to twist and distort, seek after the worldly things. That's not what comes first. Seek God first in your life. See, this is a personal relationship and it's in your heart. Are you prioritizing it the way Jesus told it to? Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, that means it takes action on our part, doesn't it? And I'm going to tell you something else. It may not be popular, but it's true. And it's not, my thoughts are irrelevant. What are relevant is what we find in the Bible. And folks, I will tell you that only children of God truly, deeply, sincerely seek after Jesus Christ. There are people that superficially may do, and it's just really an experiment. But those God's children will truly seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know that that happens? Again, we turn to the Bible. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, Jesus again, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He is speaking and He says, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him. So how do you know where to go to seek? You see, God draws His children. He speaks to us. Sometimes He uses circumstances in our lives to direct our paths that will eventually lead to Him. Because God draws His children. Because He loves His children. And He knows each and every one of His children. And again, I will repeat, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. In Jeremiah, we find here the word God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. You see, it goes back again to the man hid the treasure. We need to hide God's word in our heart. There's a new, more contemporary song written about Psalm 23. And it's a young girl who sings it. I can't remember her name, but she's singing about Psalm 23, and it starts out, I think the woman's name was Great Aunt Marie. She was 103. And she said, write scriptures in your heart for when you need them. You see, the word needs to be in our heart. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, because we all need directions in life. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what the word tells us. And then in Matthew again, the Lord Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Folks, what treasure is in your heart this morning? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you value your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you recognize that it is the greatest thing in your life? You know, we have a physical life that is wonderful and is joyful. And when we live according to God's word, we can experience great joy here on this earth. But there is nothing that we can experience physically in this life that compares to the joy that we should have in our hearts when we are walking closely to God, and to what joy that is being held in reserve for us in times to come. So let me ask you a very stark, very blunt question. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ more valuable than anything else in your life? If you had to separate it all, if everything in your life, it was either this way or that way, what is the most important thing to you in your life? You see, your relationship with Jesus Christ should be your greatest treasure. God opened your heart. He planted the gift of faith within you. You are the temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell in, because you are a child of God if you have that gift of faith. Is it more important to you than anything else in this life? Think about how dear it was. What it was cost was paid for you. And there's so many scriptures we could turn to for this. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus died for you on that horrible cross. He poured out his redeeming blood to save us, because, folks, we could not save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us from our sins. And he gave you understanding in your heart for that redemption. What is the most important thing to you? Is it this understanding that Jesus Christ is your Savior? That the Holy Spirit is within you to guide you as a shepherd through life? Is it more important to you than anything? You were bought with a heavy price. The price was the blood of the Son of God. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son because he loved his children. And it was his intention to redeem his children. And he has redeemed his children. So, folks, you are living and walking with the Holy Spirit within you. And that knowledge, that understanding, should be greater than anything else in your life. And it should be more valuable to you than anything else in your life. And if it is not, then just like Jesus preached when he first started his ministry, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we put anything before Jesus Christ, we have a reason to repent. So let me ask you, would you sell everything you have for the kingdom of God if that was required? You see, one parable builds on the next. Let's continue reading. It brings us to the next parable of the pearl. Because Jesus uses this to help explain the previous one. And I'm glad that sometimes there's repetition in the Bible. I'm a little slow thinking, and I need that repetition oftentimes to understand. Again, the kingdom of heaven. You see, it's about the kingdom of heaven. You cannot get away from that throughout the scriptures, folks. The kingdom of heaven, we can only enter it through the Spirit. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. So again, a merchant, this man, this person is seeking. He is searching. And if you think about a merchant in that day, would have been somewhat of a wealthy person. He's actively involved in the pearl trading business. That means he wasn't doing business over in the Sea of Galilee. No, he's doing business over in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Israel. He's actively seeking pearls. See, the geometry just expanded. He most likely is going down to where some of the pearls are found up around what is in modern-day Lebanon coast. And even down off the coast of Africa, there's pearls scattered throughout that region of the world. And people trade in those pearls. You see, you have a merchant here, a wealthy man. The Jews in particular would have understood this because he's involved in business. And Jesus makes this analogy for us to understand the great cost. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, and he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, he found something so valuable that nothing else in life compared. You see, this parable means that the kingdom of heaven is of such extraordinary value that it justifies whatever sacrifice may be required in your life to obtain it, to have it, to hide it in your heart. You see, nothing comes before Jesus Christ. It is the first. It is the first. That's how valuable it is. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like a great pearl that is beyond compare. And if necessary, you need to sell everything that you have to keep it. You need to hide it in your heart. Like Aunt Marie says in the song, write scriptures on your heart for when you need it. And folks, we all need it. It needs to be buried in our hearts. That's what David said. And that's what Jesus said, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is the greatest treasure in your life? It should be our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I repeat this over and over again. If you have the gift of faith within you, God gave that to you through His grace. It is valuable beyond compare. It is greater than anything else on life. In life. Nothing compares to it. But folks, there's also something that we need to glean from this, especially this second parable. Because it illustrates how much God loves us. If you thought about it, let's reverse it. You see, to me, the deeper lesson reflects that God pursues us. Didn't Jesus say it? That he leaves, the shepherd leaves 99 in search of the one lost sheep. Folks, we were all dead in trespasses and sin. Yet the Lord sought us out too. Because he draws us as we to him, as we read in the Gospel of John. This, to me, suggests the great value that God places on His children because He sent Jesus to die for us. What a great price was required to purchase us from the bondage of sin. But folks, that's what happened. He purchased us. Again, let me read our opening scripture. Do you not know, found in 1 Corinthians, do you not know? And folks, if you don't know, it's because you haven't focused on it. You're aware of it, but we gloss over it. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, folks, everything we have comes from God. And that relationship that you have should be worth more than anything else. It should be of greater value to you than anything else in your life. So let me try to break this down. How do you glorify God in your body and even in your spirit? How do you live daily in the kingdom of God? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. I think it can be summarized in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus told us, and you need to apply this to your heart. You shall, Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You see, there's no room for anything else there, is there? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That field represents your heart in this case. God's word needs to be hidden in your heart. And you need to love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In totality, folks. This is the first and the great commandment. That comes first. God comes first before anything else because it's of higher value. But right beside it is the second great commandment that Jesus said. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Amen. You see, when we do this, when we strive with all of our heart and our soul to love the Lord our God, then that relationship is more valuable than anything else. And when we do this, you think about the physical exercises needed because you are walking with God. You are walking. You are talking and praying throughout the day. Folks, let me ask a quick question. How do you pray throughout the day? Do you just pray in the morning? Or do you just pray at night when you go to bed? Or do you happen to pray after you rush off, you're trying to go to work when you're driving? How do you pray? Well, any and all of those ways are good, but I'm going to tell you it needs to be more. You need to pray through. Your prayer life needs to be a daily conversation with God. Every few minutes you need to be thanking God for something. You need to be asking for God to guide and direct you. You need to be walking and talking and breathing with God in your life. That's the relationship that the Lord intended for us to have. When we do that, we are living and more, we are communing with Jesus Christ. And the Word tells us when we do that, when we uphold that scripture that Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, you are putting it first in your life, and it is the great treasure that is now within you. It is the kingdom of God. And when you do that first, it empowers you and enables you to love your neighbor like yourself. And folks, when we do that, we are fulfilling all the law that was ever written. We are fulfilling what Jesus instructed us to do. And for those who are with Jesus, see, I said it at the beginning, and it's not very popular. Not everybody in this world finds that treasure. Not everybody in this world has it buried in their heart. Not everybody in this world is a child of God. Not everybody in this world has true faith. But for those who do, as Jesus said, those who are born both of the flesh and the spirit, whom God calls and draws to himself, for those who do, Romans 8 to me gives us a very comforting scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and who do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the spirit. You see, walking, talking, praying, living with Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are Christ. And folks, I want to share one last scripture with you. Because sometimes we feel like our daily walk is hard. And yes, we have hard times in our life. But through the Word, through that power that is within you, there used to be a song called "We Are Overcomers." And we are overcomers through Jesus. Jesus tells us that in the Philippians we are told that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's proof and evidence in this scripture. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation comes to those who know Him, folks, because you are His child. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks to and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." You see, folks, because of that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because of that kingdom of heaven that is within you, we will be overcomers too. And we will stand in that great multitude that cannot be numbered. And if you notice, again, it is indicative and reflective of how great God is from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. You see, God's grace goes out throughout all this world, and God knows His people, and He draws them to Him. From the very beginning, from Adam until whenever the last day will be, God's grace is sufficient, and it covers our sins. And folks, when you have that knowledge, you only have that knowledge because God reveals it to you and He draws it to you, and you have that treasure hidden within you, and it needs to be the greatest thing in your life. The kingdom of heaven is within you, Jesus said. Those are not my words. They are taken from the Gospel of Luke. It needs to be more important to you than anything else. May God add His blessings is my prayer.